How many of you were able to be here last Shabbat and hear Rabbi's sermon? I mean, was that just a word from God, and was that a blessing to your heart? As much as a blessing to your heart that message was, I want to tell you what, it was electrifying to me. Because as is our tradition, on Shavuot, I read the book of Ruth, and I had something happen to me that has never happened before in my life. As I was reading the book of Ruth, in a millisecond, I want to tell you, it was faster than that. God poured into me an understanding that I had never, ever, ever comprehended before. And everything that Rabbi spoke about last week and the mystery that was contained in the words that he talked about Jew and Gentile, were revealed to me on Shavuot. And I wanted to take just a short minute this morning, maybe longer than a short minute, and I wanted to share with you, because I believe that it is a message for this congregation in this hour. And so what I wanted to do was just review with you, if you would, the book of Ruth in a very, very general, high-level way. The story starts out, of course, with background. Elimelech takes Naomi and the two sons. I love the two sons' name, Sickly and Pining. And they go off to Moab because there's famine in Israel. So they go off to live with the Moabites. And while they're there, Elimelech dies. And after he dies, the two boys take wives of the Moabites. And after a while, both of those sons die and leave Naomi, Orpah, and Ruth by themselves. Yes. No, I don't know. Maybe. I get really, this is crazy. I'm getting so nervous back here. So, wow. That's scary. So, Naomi hears that God is once again giving bread to the people of Israel, and she decides that it's time to go back. So she goes, takes her daughter-in-laws, and goes out and starts heading back on the journey to Israel. And after they're on the road, she turns to her daughters-in-law, and she says to them, "Girls, I want you to go back to your mother's household. I have nothing to offer you. I have no son in my womb. And even if I were to have a husband tonight and I were to conceive a son, would you wait for him? Would you wait until he's grown? No. May God bless you, but go back to your own people. Go back to your own gods. And may God bless you as you bless me." Well, we know the story. Orpah cries, kisses her mother-in-law, kisses Naomi, and turns around and goes home. But Ruth is of a different mind. Ruth recites one of the most beautiful poems that has ever been recorded. And in the vernacular, it says, "Stop telling me what to do. I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to go where you go. I'm going to live where you live. Your God is going to be my God and your people my people. And the only thing that is ever going to separate me from you is death. And Naomi just didn't know what to do, so she just turned and headed back on to Bethlehem and knew that Ruth was going to just follow her there. Well, when she gets back to Bethlehem, she says to the people who knew her and welcomed her back, said, "Don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara, because I am no longer pleasant. I am now bitter. I went out full, and I've come home empty." After they were settled in, it was the barley harvest. And Ruth said to Naomi, "You know, maybe I should go out and follow the gleaners, and I could get enough barley and bring it home for us." And Naomi said, "Okay, go on, do this." And so we know that Ruth went out and just happened to go to the field of Boaz. And there she worked very diligently. And she followed the reapers, and she worked very hard. And so when Boaz came out from the town, he said to the foreman, the supervisor, he said, "Who's the girl?" And they said, "That's Ruth. You've heard about her. She's the one who came back with Naomi. She's the one who's taking care of Naomi." And he said, "Good, good." He said, and then he approached Ruth and he said, "Don't go anywhere else. Stay here in my field. Stay with my gleaners. The boys aren't going to bother you because I've already talked to them. You can go get water from the jug when you're thirsty. And in fact, when you want, you can come and eat with us. You can take of the bread. You can dip it in the olive oil. You can dip it in the vinegar. And just be with us. You'll be safe here." So she did. She went back out and went to work. And Boaz, and I think this is very telling even at this point, Boaz says to the reapers, "Hey, drop some extra sheaves, you know? Let's make this job easier on her." And of course they did. And they did in such a way that by the end of the day, she was able to get a whole bushel of barley to take home. And she took it back to Naomi, and Naomi was surprised. She said, "How did you do this? What's happening?" And so Ruth shared with her. She said, "I went to Boaz's field, and he was kind to me, and I was able to get this." And she said, "Oh, Boaz is a close relative of ours. You need to stick there. Stick there. Stay in that field. Stay with his reapers and gleaners, and it's going to be good." So she worked all during the harvest and brought home the barley every night. And finally, after the harvest was almost over, she came home one day, and Naomi said to her, "Look, I am concerned about your future, and I have a plan for you. I want you to go clean up. I want you to put on your very best clothes. I want you to anoint yourself, and when it gets dark out, I want you to go down to the threshing floor, because I know Boaz, and he's going to be down there. He's going to be down there gleaning. And don't approach him as soon as you get there. Wait for him to eat and drink. There's a real secret there, ladies." "Wait for him to eat and drink and lay down, and once he's fallen asleep, sneak out and lay at his feet." And that is exactly what she did. And so sometime in the night, Boaz wakes up, and he perceives that there's somebody there, and he's startled, and he said, "Who is this?" And Ruth said, "It's me, your servant. You are a kinsman redeemer. Spread your cloak over." It wasn't even Sadie Hawkins Day, and she was asking him to marry her. So, Boaz says, blessings on you. You haven't chased the young men. He said, have no fear. I'm going to do everything that I can to make this happen. He gives her 6 measures of barley to take home to Naomi as a promise. And just before dawn, before anybody could recognize her, because he was worried about her reputation, he sent her home. And when she got home, she showed the barley to Naomi, and Naomi knew what that meant. We know we're dealing with a man in love. She said, be still, be patient. This is a man who has a mission, and before we can blink an eye, it's going to be done. So the story picks up with Boaz going to the city gate, because that's where all the important matters were settled. And Boaz approached, we don't know his name, but he was a closer relative and had first rights. And he said, Naomi's selling all of Elimelech's property, and you have first rights. And the man said, okay, I'll buy it. Boaz said, well, good, but understand this. The day you buy that, you have to marry Ruth and raise up sons in the name of the deceased, in the name of the dead. And the man said, I can't do that. That's going to mess up my inheritance. And Boaz said, well then, I'm going to do it. What God showed me was that there were 3 people in this story, and it has real applicability to our congregation here today. You see, Ruth was a Gentile. And she wasn't just any Gentile. She was of the tribe of Moab. And Moab were outcasts. They were not allowed in the congregation. But God used her anyways. And the lesson for the Gentiles here is that once you have started the journey with the Jewish people, there are going to be realities. There are going to be real realities that you're going to have to face. But don't lose heart. Don't turn back. Love through the reality, because there's a greater truth, and you need to keep your eyes on the truth. Ruth was able to love through the reality. It wasn't about what she could get at the end of the journey, because she didn't know what that was going to be. But she knew that her heart was melted to Naomi and that she did not want to leave her. God is looking for people of faith, and he is looking for people who love what he loves. And God loves the Jewish people. The second person in the story is Boaz. Boaz never left his people. He stayed there through the famine and through the plenty. And yet he was a man of great humility, because he was willing to lay his life down to raise up the dead. Let me tell you today, if you're a Jewish person here and you haven't left your people, God isn't done with you, and he's not done with your people. He wants to use you to raise up the dead. Boaz never lost his inheritance. He never lost his name. In fact, his name became a pillar in the house of God. Amen?
Amen.
The third person in this story, of course, is Naomi. And I have a very special place in my heart for Naomi. That was my mom's name, Naomi. And let me say to all the Naomis, you may have separated yourself from your people, but God isn't done with them. And when you see him working in and among them, your heart is going to be drawn back. And you may come back in bitterness, but God has a Redeemer waiting for you. Look, if you will, with me. It's at the end of the story of Ruth. It's in chapter 4. And it starts in verse 13. It says, "So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. He had sexual relations with her. Adonai enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. Then the woman said to Naomi, 'Blessed be Adonai, who today has provided you a redeemer. May his name be renowned in Israel.'" Now, who is Naomi's redeemer? It's not Boaz. It's Obed. Keep on going. "May he restore your life and provide for your old age, for your daughter-in-law, who loves you and is better to you than seven sons, has given birth to him." Naomi took the child, laid it on her breast, and became its nurse. This is the verse that just so excites me. The women who were her neighbors gave it a name. They called it. They said, "A son has been born to who? To Ruth? No. To Naomi. A son has been born to Naomi," and called it Obed. And Obed means helping. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. So I want to say to you Naomis that you have a redeemer. The very desire of Naomi's heart was to have a son. That was revealed early on in the story. And she said, "I have none. My life's over. Go home. Don't follow me. This isn't going to work." And yet the very thing that she thought was impossible, the God we serve made possible. There are three people in this story, and this is the real mystery. And this is what Rabbi spoke about last week. This is the real mystery to me. There are three people in this story who individually could not have worked this miracle. Because what you see is that from these three came our Messiah. If you look at Matthew chapter 1, there are three women named by name, and Ruth is one of them, who are in the genealogy of Messiah. These three people working individually could not have done this, but these two Jews and this one Gentile united in unity, walking in God's purpose, fulfilled the plan of God. That is what he is calling this congregation to. I believe that with my whole heart. He wants us, both Jew and Gentile, to walk in unity. Each of us, as we walk in that unity, are going to find our kinsman redeemer, and we are going to find the restoration of the things that we have lost. So, I asked this last night, I'm going to ask it again this morning. I want to see a show of hands. Is there anybody here this morning who is not a Jew or a Gentile? Come on, don't be shy. No, of course, we're all either Jews or Gentiles. And God wants me to pray for you this morning. If you're willing to be part of this plan, if you are willing to be part of the unity that God has called us to perform his purposes, stand up. Father, I thank you so much. Father, I thank you that you have brought us together and you're calling us to unity. And Father, for every Gentile that's here this morning who has made the commitment to love the Jewish people and has started this journey, Father, I ask that when they're faced with reality, they will love through the reality, that they will see the truth. And Father, even though they may feel they are outcasts, Father, I ask that you reveal to them their place and their purpose in your plan. And let their hearts be joined in even stronger and new ways to the Jewish people. And for all the Jewish people here this morning who have not left their people, Father, I pray that you will give them the vision of the inheritance and that their names will become pillars in your house. And Father, for all the Jewish people here this morning who have left their people but are being called back, Father, I pray that you wipe away the bitterness and that you bring full restoration. Father, I thank you so much that you have made me part of these people. I am so humbled that you have done this. Father, I ask that you use my life in a real way to bring even greater clarity to the things that you have shown me. I ask this all in the name of our Messiah, whose great, 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 great grandmother was Ruth, and whose great, 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 great grandfather was Boaz. These people of faith, these people who wouldn't be turned back, Father, make me like them. I ask this in the name of Yeshua. Amen.